All right, children, come on.
How's everybody today? Yeah, some can come over here. Yeah, Jimmy, you can sit by me. Well, I want to share a story with you today. By the way, y'all noticed all the pretty flowers around Savannah? Make sure you, when you see those flowers, you thank the Lord. He has decorated our city in a beautiful way. Listen to this story, okay? This is a powerful story. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he sent the crowds away that had been listening to him teach. After he sent them away, Jesus went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there on the mountain all alone. The disciples had gone off in the boat. And the boat they were in was already a long way from the land on the Sea of Galilee. And the waves came up. And the little boat, the little fishing boat, was being tossed to and fro. The wind was very strong. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. The disciples were very afraid. And then something happened. Does anybody know what happened? That's right. In the middle of all those waves and their boat, they think their boat's going to sink and they think they're going to be terrified, and they thought it was a ghost. And so they were crying out in fear. Not only do they think that they're going to die in the boat, but they think there's a ghost coming after them. Imagine that. And immediately, Jesus speaks to them. And he said, "Don't be afraid. It's me." And so when they heard his voice, immediately, the fear went away. Peter, you know Peter, remember Peter, the guy that seemed to always have his foot in his mouth? Peter, he says to Jesus, "Lord, if it's really you, then command me to come to you walking on the water." And what do you think Jesus said? That's exactly what he said. In fact, read it right there. See the word? That's exactly what he said. Come! So Peter got out of the boat. What do you think he did? He got a life preserver. And he jumped in. What? What did he do, Will?
He went on the water.
He walked on the water. He was standing on the water just like Jesus. So, but what happened as Peter was walking on the water to get to Jesus? He got scared, because what did he do? At first, he gets out of the boat and he's walking and he's looking at Jesus, and then what happened? Took his eyes off of Jesus. That's right. He started looking at the waves, and then what happened to Peter? He's sinking in the water. And so, what does he cry out to Jesus? He says, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he took hold of Peter and he said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me?" And then he and Peter got in the boat And as soon as they got in the boat, something happened. Anybody know? Everything went calm. The wind calmed down. The waves calmed down. And all the disciples that were in the boat fell down on their knees and they worshiped Jesus. And they said, "You really are the Son of God." Now, the reason why I tell you that story today, you know, it's real easy to think that we can do things by ourselves. But that story tells us the only way we can do anything is through Jesus and by His power. We start looking around at all the problems, and what does Jesus want us to do? Look at Him. Trust Him with your life. I hope every one of you boys and girls that are here today have asked Jesus into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. I was 15 when Jesus came into my life. And He will never let you down. And He'll be there even when you screw it up, just like Peter. "Lord, help me!" And He'll be there for you. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us today. Thank You for this beautiful story. Lord, thank You for what You did in Peter's life and for what You're going to do in these children's lives today. We thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all can go to Kids Zone now. Just follow on and you'll find out. Now, I did receive this week, I've gotten word from Africa this week, from our friends over there. You know, our mission team was just over there. I've received several proposals of marriage. Not for me. But Maya got a couple more, but Melanie and Dixie have both gotten proposals of marriage. And I'll tell you, if I broker the deal, there's goats and chickens in it for me. So I'm really thinking strongly about doing that. So if you have your Bible with you today, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And as you're turning to that, I want to ask you a question today. Do you think the Lord is trying to get our attention in the world today? Anybody?
Yeah.
Does anybody not believe that? Is He trying to get our attention? As we go back through history, what are the ways in which God has gotten the attention of people? What has come before? We've seen disasters. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen wars and sickness. We've seen signs in the heavens, right? A couple of things come to mind. Did there come a time, and by the way, I will not recommend the movie Noah. Wait till it comes out and you don't have to pay for that atheist director and anything that is there. It is awful. So don't waste your money on that. There was, you talk about a gigantic sign from the Lord as He brought a flood to the earth. And, you know, being in and out of academia most of my life, hearing people try to debunk a flood in the earth over and over and over again. Yet in every culture, do you know every culture in history has a flood story? I want to tell you something. That universal flood that came to the earth, that was a sign. Another sign came at the birth of Jesus. Do you remember something that came in the heavens? What was it? A star. God spoke. Now, I want you to read Genesis 1:14. And I want to tell you today, in the few minutes we have together, I'm going to drag out more snakes than I can kill today. Okay? So there's some things I'm going to leave you hanging on, and you're just going to have to get some more information later. But I promise you, this is not the last time that we're going to hear about this. Genesis 1:14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." I've read that for years and not really understood that because I didn't go back and didn't actually translate and see what the Hebrew said there, what it actually means. That word seasons is a word for appointed times. Appointed times. God has appointed times. That the sun and the moon that God put there, a light during the day, this is what I always thought, and a light at night. And, you know, the light emanates from the sun, and the moon is actually a luminary. It is a reflector. It has no light of its own. It reflects. So, but what else are they there for? They're there for signs and for appointed times. Now, we live off of a solar calendar. Jewish calendar, however, is not that. It is linked mostly to the moon, but it has some connection with the sun. So there's a difference in that calendar. That's why there are different days for the feast each year. It changes around, and then it corrects. What did he mean, signs and for seasons? Now, I want to introduce something to you today that we're about to see beginning at Passover this year, 2014. How many of you have ever heard of the term blood moon? Did you raise your hand? Okay. So many of you... Now, what is a blood moon? Let's have a little astronomy lesson here. You see, we get our light from the sun, right? It reflects on the earth, and we turn the earth turns, and so at nighttime we're on the other side. The sun is over here, and it's nighttime on this side. Sun rises, we use that terminology, as the earth spins, and it rises in the east and sets in the west. Well, we can usually see the moon at night. But what happens if the earth gets in the way of the moon? You see, when we're seeing the moon at night, and we're on this side, sun's over here. Here, Brian, you can be the sun here. All right? Come in, Daniel, you can be the moon over here. All right? Okay? Now I want you to shine. All right? Now, I'm the earth. And this is the light side, and it's shining on me. And right now, we see the sun shining. But also, it's shining on the moon, because see, I'm not in the way. But what happens when the earth gets in between the moon and the sun? What do you call that? You call it an eclipse. Eclipse. And what happens then when it's a full eclipse? Certain of the rays of the sun, the light, the red parts, the longer parts, will show around the moon. And the moon will look like it is red blood, if you will. Now, y'all can sit down. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, does the scripture have anything to say about eclipses? Does it? Well, let's look and see. Go now, if you will, to Isaiah 13:10. Several passages of scripture we're going to go through kind of quickly here. Isaiah 13:10. And this is a passage that's talking about the day of the Lord coming. And it says here, "For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light, and the sun will be dark when it rises." And the, so in other words, if the sun is dark when it rises, what does that mean? You've had a solar eclipse, okay? "And the moon will not shed its light." What do you call that? A lunar eclipse. And when you have a full one, then that's that, it's that blood moon, that red moon, if you will, that's around the outside. Go to Joel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jeremiah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Joel 2:10. Also, again, talking about last times, it says here in Joel 2:10, "Before them the earth quakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark." So again, it's speaking of a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse, and the stars lose their brightness. Go on down to verse 31 in the same chapter, and we're talking about the day of the Lord. Let's begin verse 30. It says there in 2:30, "I'll display wonders in the skies on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke." Has God done that in the past? Has He done it in the past? Yes, He does. He has displayed, you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Were there columns of smoke there? You betcha. Verse 31, "The sun will be turned into darkness," again a solar eclipse, "and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes," the day of the Lord, when He comes. I realize there are a lot of different opinions about what that day of the Lord means. Go on down to Joel 3:15. I want to get these out here. It says there, "The sun and the moon grow dark, the stars lose their brightness." Again, talking about last things. Now let's race on to Matthew 24. Remember, disciples come to Jesus in Matthew 24. And He gives them a lesson on the things that are to come. Go to verse 29 there. He says there, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened." So what do we see happening again? Same thing they talked about in Joel. Same thing it talked about in Isaiah. "And the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, powers of heaven will be shaken." Now, one more. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. What you'll be able to say when you leave here today, the preacher preached from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I bet you've you'll never have heard a sermon that was that fast. In verse 12, here we are. We're in the seals here, and this is in the sixth seal. It says, "And I looked when He broke," verse 12, "when He broke the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood."
All right. Now, let's talk about these passages of Scripture some, and let's talk about the blood moons, if you will. During the 20th century, there were a total of 229 lunar eclipses of all types. That's partial and full eclipses. But only 81 of these were the total eclipse of the blood moon. In this century, 21st century, there'll be 228 lunar eclipses, 85 total eclipses. Now, NASA calls when you have four blood moons together, they call that something that the word they use is a tetrad. This is a series of four total lunar eclipses in a row over a two-year period of time. Now, some of you may be wondering, why in the world is Dusty bringing this before us? In this century, 21st century, we're going to have eight of these tetrads, where there are four of these blood moons in a row over a two-year period. What does that mean? Well, several years ago, a pastor, who's your main name? I'm not going to. You can see this later. There were several guys. You can see out on the internet, all kind of stuff about this. But he made the discovery that in the seven times in the 20th century that you had these four blood moons that were together, the last, not in 20th century, but since Jesus was born, that in the last three of those, each one of those events was connected to the feast days. Now, John, if you'll put up you put up this next picture. All right. I told you I was going to give you more than you could. You're going to be drinking out of a fire hydrant today. All right. Here's a little wheel about Finley put this together. All sorts of these you can look at out on the internet. I've used this one before. It shows the seven feasts of the Lord. If you go to Leviticus 23rd chapter, you'll see there the feast of the Lord. Now these feasts are called God's appointed times. We've completed four of those in history so far. We have completed Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, thank you, John, and Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. Now, what the spring and then the summer feast, what those have fulfilled so far, in Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, we have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus that were fulfilled in those feasts. Those feasts foreshadowed those. I taught on those before. We come to Pentecost, and what was the fulfillment that came at Pentecost? Shavuot. The Holy Spirit came. See the waving there. The Holy Spirit came. But we've got three more feasts that are on God's calendar that have not been fulfilled yet. And they're the fall feast. The Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, Atonement, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles. Different teaching on these two. But also, we see in the first set of feasts, the Messiah coming as the suffering servant. The Scripture talks about Jesus coming. You look in the Old Testament, and a lot of times in the Old Testament, you see passages of Scripture that's talking about Jesus coming the first time, and almost in the same verse, it talks about Him coming the second time. And sometimes those blend together. But here we are in history. We're sandwiched between the first coming of Jesus, when He came as a suffering servant, and the second coming of Jesus, when He's coming back. And how's He coming back when He comes back? Is He coming back as a suffering servant? Is He coming in on the back of a donkey? Is he going to die? No! He's coming as a conquering king. And he's coming to set up his kingdom on this earth. And he's going to show us with his 1,000-year reign how it was supposed to be. He's going to give fulfillment to that. He's going to show that to us. And we see the fall feast. Speak of that. The trumpets, the sounding of the alarm, that the judgment is on the way. The sounding of that. His atonement. As he comes, and there is that judgment, and he sets things right. And we're seeing it today as we see now, as the fullness of the Gentiles is coming. As we see during this long period of time, you know, after the temple was destroyed, the Jews have been scattered to the earth. But what has happened? What's happened recently? God has gathered them back. 1948, we see Israel. The most amazing thing, one of the most amazing things that's ever happened in history, that they would actually have a place again. They would come back to that place. Are you seeing this? Trying to give you a bird's eye view. Okay. So that miraculous thing has taken place. And we can see that God is bringing history to a conclusion. It's funneling down, if you will. And on the horizon will be the fulfillment of these fall feasts. And then in the tabernacle, as he's going to fulfill that, I believe, in the with the 1,000-year reign, as he sets up his kingdom on this earth. Okay, all that being said, now I want you to remember Passover, and I want you to remember tabernacles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 feasts. Completion. But remember, Passover number 1, tabernacles number 7. Okay, John, you can flip up that next. Oh, we can't see that very well. Now, this is a blood moon. Some of you can remember seeing this before. All right. Thank you. Now, as I said to you, from the time of Jesus coming the first time, came to this earth, 7 times in history, we saw that these blood moons were also attached to Passover and to tabernacles. Those two feasts. Go back to the feast, John, so they can see that. Number 1, number 7. Okay. That is that in successive times of Passover this year, this spring, tabernacles in the fall, Passover the next spring, and then tabernacles the next fall. 4 in a row, blood moons at those feasts. That's happened 7 times. The last 3, since Jesus came, the last 3 were attached to, you can flip the lights back on. The last 3 were attached to significant historical events. And here they are. In the year 1493 and 1494, 4 blood moons. All right, John, go ahead. Yes, there we go. 4 blood moons came. Well, was there something that happened in the life of the Jews, in the life of Israel, in the life of the Jewish people that was significant about that time? 1492. In 1492, somebody sailed the ocean blue. Columbus. That was also That was also the year that the Jews were expelled from Spain. There were many of them murdered and expelled from Spain. King of Spain said, get out of here, confiscated all their stuff, all their money. Columbus sailed and came to the New World, and we see that as a significant event, because what happened in the Western world that was good for the Jews? The founding of the United States of America, which has become the haven for Jews in the world. In history, there is no country that has harbored Jews like America have. They have found a place here. They have gypsied through history in all these countries. You think about all the countries they've been run out of. They've been abused. They've been abandoned. They've been sold off. Even Great Britain. Great Britain. Before World War II. Sold them out. Again, Great Britain, World War II. So turning back the ships that were in the harbor full of the Jews that could have survived, and sent them back, and they went back to the death camps. That's evil. That's evil in the sight of God. Okay. Would you say that was a significant... Four blood moons, that happened. Passover tabernacles, and it happened as a sign. Remember we said signs, as a sign of something that was happening with the Jewish people. Okay, let's move on to the next one. The next one took place hundreds of years later, 1949 and 1950. 1949 and 1950 followed what? Second World War, but what else did it follow? What happened in 1948? I've always said it today. Israel was formed May of that year. It was a miracle that it happened. The ones in the world, that had those countries and the leaders in those countries that had to be asleep at the wheel to get it past them that day, and the ones who immediately said, it's a good thing. And that was a miraculous thing that took place. Was that a great thing for Jews? Now Jews from all over the world have been coming to that place, and we see that being fulfilled right now as Jews. Y'all know Jewish people. Well, we live in a town that has three large Jewish synagogues. We have seen people that have just packed up and left, moved to Israel. I've got friends, but for some reason, they decided that in the midst of all the shooting and all that, that was a good thing for their children to go to the university in Israel. That does not make sense humanly unless someone else is pushing that along. And who is that someone else? God is doing it. Are you following me so far? I'm not confusing you, am I? Okay, so we see that was a second big thing, but it followed four blood moons that were on Passover. I'm not talking about near, but I'm talking about on Passover. On tabernacles, on Passover, on tabernacle. Of course, that's how they figured with the moon anyway. All right, so the third one that took place was just a few years later, 1967-68. What happened in 1967? Six-Day War. What happened for the Jews that was a great thing in the Six-Day War? They got Jerusalem, and they didn't just get part of it. They got it all. They got that Temple Mount. They got it all. Unless some of you think, oh, Dusty, you're crazy talking about this stuff and all. Well, tell everybody else in the world they're crazy too, because they're over there fighting over it right now. The world is turning, is spinning on the axis that runs right through Jerusalem. You know the reason for that? Because that's where God decided it would be. Right there. At that place. Jesus came there the first time. Let me tell you, that's where he's coming back. Look through the eastern gate. See if he's coming. Okay. So, I bring to you these four. Passover, April 15th.
Ooh, tax day.
All right. Sukkot, Tabernacles, the second one. October the 8th. Passover again, April the 4th in 2015. And then Tabernacles, September 28th, 2015. Now, do not go out of here telling anybody, Brother Dusty said, oh, Jesus is coming back in the fall, or the next fall. I ain't said that. What I am saying is, we better pay attention. What I am saying is, God has used signs in the heavens to get our attention. And it's time that we gave Him our full and undivided attention and spend some time in this book, poring over it, seeing what God is saying to us as He reveals things, as He makes things plain to us. Now, does that make sense so far? You follow me? You see why? Do you understand now? I've given you the historical context. I've given you the biblical context. I've given you that. That's why I'm paying attention to this. And right in the middle of all of that, there's a solar eclipse. Now, usually, here's a general rule. You look at lunar eclipses, it has something to do with Israel. You look at solar eclipses, it has something to do with the rest of the world. That's a general rule. What's happening in the world right now? Do you know what's happening in the world right now? Can you say what deals are being cut? What things are happening? Tuesday, this week, what happened? What Putin announced? Oh, we've annexed. What? Crimea. Now, is that a big deal? Should we be concerned about that right now? Does it remind you of anybody in recent history? What did Hitler do? He started annexing. And what do people like Chamberlain over in Great Britain say? Oh, nothing to worry about. We'll just appease him. And what happened? You see that? You see that take place. Is anything happening in Israel right now? Is anybody lined up around Israel? I didn't put the map out there. John, don't worry about looking for it. I know you read my mind, and I want you to listen to. John's great. He always makes me look better than I am. But you look at all those people, all those groups surrounding Israel right now, and you look at the landscape of the world. I'm still trying to figure out why the North Koreans have a beef with Israel. That just doesn't make sense unless it has something to do with God and not God. Yahweh or not Yahweh. You see, that's how the world is lined up. And we are seeing these prophecies begin to be fulfilled. We are seeing Jews return to Israel. We're seeing that happen. And we're seeing the world lining up. And there is one day in the not too distant future when Israel, by human terms, is going to be alone. But by heavenly terms, they will not be alone. Because God, Yahweh, will not forsake His chosen people. All right. So, Pastor, why'd you bring this to us? Number one, we've got to watch for the signs. We got to pay attention. Now, I'm not talking today. I'm not inviting you to watch every Yahoo, every numbskull out there on the internet that's got his own opinion about this or that. I'm saying to you, and just like I'm asking you today, everything I've said, I want you to throw up against this Velcro and see if it sticks. If it doesn't stick, don't worry about it. See if it sticks. There are plenty of nuts out there on the internet. I'm not a Judaizer either. I'm not asking you to become Jews again. Now, I read Galatians. I know what Galatians says. But I am saying to you that God is bringing His people together. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Those who are grafted in and those who are in by blood inheritance. Well, we're both in by blood inheritance. Number two, our world is getting close to the coming of Jesus. We need to live like He's coming. What's that word, that fancy word we say? Say it, Dave.
Maranatha.
Maranatha. What does it mean? He's coming! Number three, I bring this to you today to show you that the world is lined up against Israel. They're lined up against God because everything in the world, you can look at it in God and not God terms. Number four, it is the time of the fullness of the Gentiles that are coming in. And I'm looking forward to that last great renewal, that last great bringing in from the world. This great harvest, number five, that is coming. Number six, and right now, God is raising up an army. He's not raising up a hospital. You hear me? Hospital, yes, we need the hospital so people can get back on the front line to fight the battle. He's calling on us to be His army in the earth today, to be His people, a people for His own possession. Read 1 Peter 2. Number seven, He's calling on you to embrace your ministry where you are. Let me tell you where your ministry is not. It's not right here. We don't need any more spiritual navel gazing in the community of faith today. We got enough of that, and you can read enough of the nutcases on the internet that are enamored by being able to put all this garbage out on the internet and actually have some hits on it. And what they need to, you know, many of them don't have a place for comment, but they need to have that place of comment so people can just say, "You're a nut." In the name and in the love of Jesus. But you're still a nut. And you're enamored with your own shadow, your own self. You're not pointing people to Jesus. When I come away from your website, I'm thinking about you. I need to be thinking about Jesus when I come away from your website. There's the bottom line. He's calling on you to embrace your ministry. That means you've got to be who God called you to be where you are. He has given you the job you have to finance your ministry, to finance where you are, to finance what you're doing as unto Him, as unto the Lord. You're given your life as unto Him. And finally, we got to start looking at the church the way Jesus looks at the church. It's not a building. It's not a meeting. It is the people of God. He gathers us to encourage us. Have you been encouraged today? Is anybody doom and gloom? Have I presented this in a doom and gloom fashion? Of course not. It's not our style. That's not the style of Jesus. Look at the opportunity. He chose you to live at this time in the history of mankind. He chose you to live at this time. He has given you the ministry. And boy, He has given you a great opportunity. A great opportunity. And He is speaking to you. Are you listening to Him? Or are you blowing Him off? That's not for me. I'm going to continue. Not for me. Do you see? See the fatal flaw? And he's giving you the joy of the Lord in your life. You see? He's going to allow us to be like in the eye of the hurricane. All hell breaking loose around us. But we know that our Redeemer liveth. And we're going to stand with Him against that day, looking forward to His coming, saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, can God speak to you? Can He encourage you? Let me tell you a little story. March 2nd, my mother died. March 5th, we buried her. March 8th, I'm finally alone in my kitchen. All my family has gone back. Everybody's out of the house. And I'm sitting. It's 2:22. I looked at the clock. I'd been outside working in the yard and sweating and just me and the Lord and just by myself. And it was good. And I came in. I sat down to eat some lunch and I had a crying fit. The grief overwhelmed me. I couldn't stop weeping. Love my mother. I miss her. All my heart. In the middle of this crying fit, I'm not praying. All I'm thinking about is how much my heart hurts. That's all I can think about. In the middle of that, suddenly, bam! I had this vision. I can see my mother smiling. She's standing right here. And I look and I see what she's smiling about. Because Jesus is looking at her smiling. Whew, this is good. And so I went from, and then the Lord spoke to me and He spoke these words. Hear the words He said. It's okay. She's with me. I went from a crying fit to a laughing fit. I was laughing out loud. I mean, somebody, you're talking about one of those nuts, you know. If they'd had the recorder, man, he's going crazy now. Idiot. And I'm laughing out loud. And so I said, so what you're telling me is my tears are not for my mama. Right. They're for you, and it's okay. Well, I'll tell you that story. Oh, by the way, got a little double confirmation on that, because last Sunday, Miss McConnell, I'm telling her the story, and she says, you know, I was praying for you day before yesterday, and the Lord showed me around His throne, and there was your mother's face looking at Jesus. Right? Double confirmation. So the Lord was not going to let me diminish what I saw and rationalize it away. He was going to make sure that I told the story. And here's why I tell you the story. Because God can come and does come and He speaks to you. And He knows what you're going through. He knows where your heart is. He knows how your heart aches. He knows all the stuff. And He knows His plan for you in the earth that is for day, today, and the days to come. And He wants you to live out your purpose in the earth. He'll come and He'll heal your heart. He'll come. And He'll renew you and get you ready so you can get out of the hospital and get back on the firing line for Him. Do you understand? That's all I got to say. Let's pray. And now, Lord, we ask that you would go before us. Throw us out. Throw us out into the world that is lost and dying and going to hell without you, Jesus. Use us this week for your plan and your purpose in the earth. Use us, Lord. May we be the very tabernacle of God Himself. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd like to get those cards from you. We'd like to, if you have an offering to bring, and man, we could sure use the offerings. Baskets here and baskets in the back. Go in grace.